Okay.
Diaries of a Dyke.
I've been sitting here for the last 40 minutes trying to procrastinating because I just didn't know where to start with this one. Also, fun fact, guess what? With podcasts, the stat is that most people give up at 7 episodes and we're on episode 8 now. Woo! I've just tried black coffee for the first time. How good? I don't know why I always screwed my nose up at it, but it's actually all good. That's probably why I'm going to be a bit hyped through this, but I needed it because I am about to air out my whole life on an episode. I think it's really important though. I've had a lot of messages on Diaries of a Dyke Instagram asking about my journey. So I'm going to tell you about it and I'm going to share. And I've put it into little notes. So if I'm looking down all the time and you're watching the video, sorry, I'm not being rude. I just need to keep on track because otherwise we'll be here all day. Also, before we get into this, I just want you to know that all the exes I'm about... All the exes? Wow. The exes I'm going to talk about in this episode, I've told them about this episode and what it's about, and they're all cool with it. But I'm not going to mention names. I don't think it's important. The names aren't important. The journey is. So, yeah. Let's just get into it, eh? I guess the question I get asked most is, when did I know I liked girls? And I had to think about it really hard, but if I dive really deep, I honestly think that I first liked girls at 5 years old. I know, 5 years old. Most people are worried about what's in their lunchbox. But I remember this teacher at my primary school. I still remember her name. I'm not going to mention it. And I just used to think, man, she's really pretty and she's really cool. And I just knew I had these types of feelings towards her that I probably... Well, I couldn't work out. I didn't know what it was. Please take into account that I didn't know any gay people. All I knew was the relationships, like my mum and dad, my aunties and uncles, my grandparents, and they were all female-male relationships. So to me, that's what was normal. So I couldn't quite work out why I was having these certain type of feelings towards a teacher. Oh, gosh. And yeah, so went on about my life. Didn't know any gay people growing up. I was always into boys as well. So that's why I was, I guess, really confused. I didn't know what was right, what was wrong, why I was feeling this way towards both sexes. Got into intermediate and there I was attracted to guys as well. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's my thing. And then I found myself, I never was attracted to like my friends or anything. That's a question I get asked a lot, especially from my friends. They're like, you know, were you ever attracted to me at all? It wasn't like that. It was, I'm not attracted to every woman in the world. I know a lot of people think that about, like, you know, lesbians and stuff, but shock horror, I'm not. So I guess in intermediate, I started, you know what it was? It was Shortland Street. I've talked about this before, but there was a relationship on Shortland Street, a female-female relationship. Their names were Myra and Jay, the characters. And I was a religious watcher of Shortland Street. I used to watch at 7 p.m. on the dot every night. Mum used to let me. And I just remember watching this relationship and I was just like, why do I feel like butterflies inside? And why am I so curious about this? And I still couldn't work it out. And yeah, I guess that was the first kind of moment. I must have been probably like 10 years old at this point, 10, 11 maybe. And that's where I was just like, okay, I'm interested in this female-female thing. Let's see what happens. And then I got into good old high school. Whew, it's a different ball game, isn't it? And I guess I found myself, you know, the girls would walk past. And it was always the older girls as well. I think I was like a turd. And it was always like the fifth, sixth formers that I was like, man, she's hot. But I never said it. This was always just in my mind. I never spoke out loud about it. And then I got a boyfriend when I was like 16 years old. He was my first boyfriend. And he was hot. He had like muscles. Yeah, that's about it. Nah, he was cool. He was a cool dude. He was like into rugby and sports. And so was I. You know, we had similarities. I mean, what the heck else do you do at 16 years old? But that's when I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Nothing to worry about. But I couldn't connect. And anyway, that ended up fizzling out as you do at 16 years old. Well, most people do. Okay, let's talk about the first time I ever kissed a girl, eh? Because I feel like a lot of people, they ask this question as well. The first time I kissed a girl, it wasn't romantic. It wasn't sweet. It was nothing. I'm pretty sure I was intoxicated. It was kind of sloppy. And so in that way, I was like, meh. But I do remember thinking, wow, your lips are so soft. That's all I remember thinking. Anyway, carry on. I'm probably about 15 at this point. And that's when, I don't even know what it was. I don't know when the point was, the light bulb moment. I didn't really have anything like that. I just knew that I liked girls, but I liked guys as well. And I was so confused. I didn't know what was right, what was wrong. Like I said, I talk about this all the time. This is the whole purpose of Diaries of a Dyke, of this podcast, because I had nothing. Nothing like this. Nobody talked about it. I felt like I was the only person in the world that felt like this. This is what I felt like. And I just didn't want anybody to ever feel like that, because it's the most horrible feeling. You feel so alone. You feel so, you know, you're just like, why do I feel like this? What's wrong with me? And there's nothing wrong with you. You just haven't worked it out yet. And that was me. That was me. I just wish I had somebody to talk about it, but nobody talked about it. So, and you know, when it was talked about, it was joked about, like, oh, you're lesbo, oh, blah this, blah that. And so I got shut down, and I didn't want to talk about it at all. But I always knew there was that little thing in me that was just like, I'm curious. It was hard. It was hard. I went to a school in South Auckland. People were mean. Kids were mean. There was no, like, you know, in sex ed classes, they didn't teach you anything about sexuality. It was always like putting the damn condoms on the condoms on bananas and stuff. So my first time, gosh, I talk about my first time with a girl. To be honest, I'll quickly, the first time with a girl was quite like the first kiss, you know. It was nothing amazing. I was a teenager. I didn't know what love was. It was purely physical. It wasn't awkward at all. We'll leave it there. It wasn't anything to really touch on. I had no idea what I was doing. Let's just say that. Neither did she. Fast forward, left high school, got a boyfriend. He was chill. He was laid back. He liked the same things I was into. Super good looking. But even then, I was probably about 18, 19 at this stage. Even then, I was like, what is missing? Like, what is missing? I'm attracted to this person. Everything physically, but just mentally and like spiritually, I was just missing something. That turned toxic, that relationship. We're all good now. If I passed him, I'd be civil. But yeah, that was the first journey of being like, okay, definitely didn't want that in a relationship, not to do with men or anything, just the, you know, the mental side. But that was the first kind of like a rebirth moment for me. I left my job after that breakup. I was probably about 19 years old at this point, 19, 20. Left that relationship, left my job, left home, moved out of home, started flatting, and just everything was new, you know, and I felt like I was starting to come into myself, learn a lot about myself and my sexuality. And then when I left my old job, I went to do radio because that was my passion. And at that job, I met someone. And just taken to a point this time, I'd only kind of like dabbled with women. I'd never been in like a relationship or anything like that. And I met someone. And as soon as I met her, I can't even describe it. I just thought she was the coolest shit out. That's the only way I can describe it. I was just in awe. And you know, I just remember thinking, God, how do I flirt? How do I go about this? How do I know if she likes girls? I did a bit of stalking, as you do, on social media. And I saw that she had a gay best friend. The gay best friend has been on this podcast as well. She's done an episode, who is now a very, very good friend of mine. And I was like, okay, interesting. And so I guess I kind of let a guard down a little bit because I knew she was open to it because she had a best friend who was gay. And so, you know, like the little like flirt texts and stuff like that. And I remember sending some texts and I was like, is this chick flirting back with me? Because I'm pretty sure that's flirting. And it would seem like, it was dumb shit. It was like emojis and stuff like that. It's so cringe. But yeah, I guess one thing led to another and I started having these feelings that I'd never ever had before. I'd had boyfriends I thought I'd been in love before, but these were completely different feelings. Like long story short, I fell head over heels in love with her. I just thought she was the most amazing person. I still do. And she'll always be that first love that taught me a lot about my sexuality. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. You know, we explored things together. We explored our own sexualities together, to be honest. She was a little bit older, so she had a bit more experience, I guess, but not in a relationship. She'd never been in a relationship with a woman or anything like that. So it was all new to her as well. All new to her, all new to me. We were both confused and didn't know ourselves enough to be brave with it. And it was a big secret. Not many people knew about it, just our close friends. And that was hard. That was hard because I felt like I was in a closet, if that makes sense. And I just didn't see any way of getting out. And I wanted to shout it from the rooftops how happy I was and what I was feeling. But I needed to respect her. And yeah, it was an interesting time. Definitely was. That was my first, I guess you could call it girlfriend, even though we never really like asked each other out or anything like that. But first girl love. You never freaking forget your first one, that's for sure. She broke my heart. Yeah. She said she just couldn't do it anymore. I gave her everything. I gave her a piece of me that I'd never given anyone before. And it bloody hurt. It bloody hurt. But it's important. It's important for learnings and for lessons. There was a long time where I just didn't understand. She went back to an ex-boyfriend as well. So in myself, when that happened, I felt like, shit, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. This girl-girl thing will never work out because someone will always need a man. And that was my mentality. My mentality was, I'm not good enough. I can't give what a man can give. And do you know what? In saying so, that's 100% right. I personally even thought growing up, you know, I'd have the man at the altar, I'd have kids, the white picket fence, all of that. That's what I always thought. I never really envisioned a woman being in my life forever. So I understood that she was confused as well and lost and I guess in a toxic cycle. And so I... Oh, you know, if you've had heartbreak, you'll relate to this. And there's a couple more heartbreaks to come. Like I said, I love. When I love, I love. My heart's on my sleeve. And so I took it on the chin. Well, actually, I didn't. I bloody spiraled into a really bad place. But I'll never regret that. I'll never regret that relationship because that was a relationship that made me realize, okay, I do like women. I do. I love them. I love women. And so I took that experience. And after that heartbreak, I got real bad, you know. I did the whole, like, I'm never going with a woman again. I'm going back to guys. And I guess in doing that, for me, the way I healed my heartbreak was I threw myself at men in any way possible just to kind of try and get that feeling. I was trying to get that feeling where I was just like, Danny, you know, you're supposed to be with men. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what society says. That's what this says and that says. So I was throwing myself at men and just not getting anything back. I was numb. I was so numb. I was, you know, there were so many things going on. I was dealing with the heartbreak. I was dealing with the confusion. I turned to alcohol, actually, for a little bit. Just remember staying in my room all day and just drowning my sorrows. I just wanted to feel numb. I thought it was the heartbreak, but it was just wanting to numb my feelings completely because I thought that I was, you know, so wrong. They were so wrong. Anyway, this is where I told my mum that I like girls. I was at like the bottom and I remember we were in a cafe and I was bawling my eyes out and mum was like, what's wrong? And I was just like, mum, I like girls. And that was the fucking scariest thing ever. I did care what people thought, but if anyone, my mum, that's who I was. I was just like, please don't hate me. And she turned around. And at this age, I'm probably like 22, maybe. So I'm 22. I've had these feelings for several years, built up. And I turned to my mum. Shit. I turned to my mum and I just said, mum, I like girls. And I was bawling my eyes out. And she turned to me and she said, it's okay. She said, it's okay. And this massive weight came off my shoulders. And those words that I said to her, I'd had nightmares about it for so many years because I just wanted to tell someone. And I had all these thoughts going through my head and I was like, It was one of those moments where I was just like, really? Really? I was feeling all that for those many years and that you just don't care. And I can't say that's going to be the same for everyone. I know it's not, but it was just such a massive relief to tell my mom. And then, yeah, I picked my shit up. And I picked my shit up and just had this new mentality where I was like, my mom's cool. I'm cool. And that's when I fully, I guess, went on another self-discovery route where I just started to try to figure myself out. I wasn't so shy. I wasn't going to hide it anymore. I mean, I wasn't going to go and scream it from the rooftops, but it was just nice that someone knew, you know, someone that I really cared about. When I was saying I was numbing myself by throwing myself at men, in saying that, I was super attracted to these guys. Like, I was so attracted, and I wanted it to work. But like I said before, I was just missing something. Something was missing. Like, you know, I look at them, I'll be like, you're drop dead gorgeous, but I wish I wanted to marry you and move forward with you, but I just couldn't connect. I just couldn't connect with any of the men. And I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that, you know, I never would be able to connect with men, just the ones that I was coming across, I couldn't. And I think that's a real big misconception that people are like, oh, lesbians hate men, and if you like a woman, you just like women. Nah, I just like who I vibe with and who I get along with. But yeah, then I met another girl. You know, I was still a bit sensitive from the first heartbreak. But this girl was fun. She was fucking hot. And I guess I'd been hiding for so long that it was just a breath of fresh air. That's what I used to call her. And we had fun together. We did. But it was more, the relationship was more, I just didn't see our paths aligning. And, you know, people joke about it. It's memes, you know, the typical lesbian relationships where they like move in with each other after 3 months. And, you know, that's pretty much how it went. And it just moved really fast. And we fell. And I did love her and she loved me, but it was one of those ones where we just knew that what we wanted for our futures didn't meet. Like, I was in the middle of my career. I just got my dream job. She wanted to travel. I couldn't leave. Made the decision that it just wasn't going to work. We were together for about a year and a half. That relationship, we shared a lot together. I went through my job, my dream job, which was definitely an interesting thing because, you know, I was quite open with it, and I didn't realize being in the public and your relationship being in the public, people get so involved in your relationship. So that definitely took a toll and affected it. And I also found out I was a little bit sick before that relationship. Long story short, I've got idiopathic intracranial hypertension. There's too much fluid in my brain. I got diagnosed with that. I think I was about 21. I did get sick. I was more tired than other people. I had headaches. And, you know, I just felt like I was holding her back. She was so full of life. And here I was, you know, I was a bit sick. I had my career that I focused everything on. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to her. And it wasn't fair to me either, because we were both wanting different things. But in the end, it was for the best. She lives in Australia now. She got a great job. She's traveling. She's doing what she wanted to do. And we're good. We still talk every now and again. We're good now, and I wish her nothing but the best, and I know that she's going to have a great life. So after that relationship ended, I jumped into another one quite quick. I discovered, especially over the past year, that I was a relationship jumper, and I'm a relationship person, and I've always thought that, but in doing so, I was doing more damage to myself and to them than to actually, you know. I jumped into another relationship, and this one was a whole different ballpark. I met this girl and she was amazing. She was caring. She was loving. She gave me a sense of security. She was absolutely beautiful. And she had 3 kids. So that's what I mean about the completely different ballpark. I don't know what I was going into. I'd never been in a relationship with somebody that had kids. You know, because I was still trying to find my feet with being in a relationship with a woman, but then also taking on this new role as like a motherly figure. And I've always wanted to be a mum. I'm destined to be a mum. I want a whole bunch of kids. And so this was the first taste into kind of getting that. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved that role. I loved the family feels. I was never a partier or anything like that. I loved on a Friday night chilling and watching movies with the kids and with her. She'd been married twice before. I felt she was a bit older than me as well. And I felt like once again, I was in a relationship where I couldn't see the future. And I was so angry at myself. I was like, why do I keep getting myself into these situations where I fall for these people, but then I can't see a future? And as much as I knew she would have given me what I wanted, that's not what she wanted. And I didn't want to be freaking selfish. I loved her with everything. I loved her. I loved those kids. But I couldn't figure out why we were butting heads so much. And I know that she had a lot that she had to deal with from her past. And so did I. We both did. I guess her way, you know, I couldn't understand why we were fighting so much and why it was so toxic. And her reasoning would be that it was better than her last relationships. And in my eyes, I'm like, that's not okay. Like, you deserve so much better than that. You don't deserve to, instead of being fighting 7 times a week, you're down to 3 times a week. You know, you don't deserve that. And I didn't have the energy in me to try and, I was working all the time. She was a stay-at-home mum. I couldn't give her the energy and the time that she wanted and needed. We were just on completely different lanes. And as much as we wanted it to work out, it just didn't. We just didn't. You can't look back and you can't be like, oh, this was different and that was different. Because I'm the biggest believer in the universe and everything happens for a reason. And I just felt the same things happening that had happened in the last relationship. And also, I loved those kids so much. And I know what it's like to grow up in a toxic household. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that at all. And I could have stayed. I could have stayed. And who knows what we would have been. But I knew that the girl I was with would find someone that could give her everything that she'd ever wanted. And in that moment, I couldn't. She couldn't give me it. I couldn't give her it. I needed to freaking heal. She needed to heal as well. We spoke about it. You know, a couple of things happened towards the end of the relationship that were really bad, and it wasn't a good breakup at all. When we broke up, shit, man, as much as heartbreak hurts, losing those 3 kids, it's like heartbreak that I can't even describe to you. I didn't just lose her, I lost those kids as well, and damn, that hurts, man. It was hard because, you know, I went from reading books and making dinners and spending weekends in the park and tucking them in and teaching them things to nothing. It was just me. And I don't want to sit here and be a sob show and be like, feel sorry for me, la la. But damn, that was reality. And it was really hard. I still got rings that I wear that they gave me for my birthday. And I just wear those to make me feel like they're always a part of me, because they were. They were a big part of my life. After we broke up, she didn't want me to see the kids because she thought it would be better and easier. And I can't argue with that. That's their mum, and I'll never want to disrespect that or argue that. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot in that relationship. I learned that I needed to find myself more than anything. I needed to stop jumping into relationships that were toxic and just drained me. Because I couldn't give them what they wanted or myself. So after that relationship, I had nothing. I gave everything up when I moved in with her. So I started from scratch, brought me everything. I was like, okay, cool, this is a new start. You know, I'm just going to do me. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted to do me. I needed to figure myself out. I needed to see where the frick I was going. Stop getting into these relationships and then ending in heartbreak. So I did that, and I started from scratch, and I started feeling good. I got my own place, got my own stuff, bought like a new bed, new car, all that stuff, just for me to feel like, you know, I can do this. And it was good. It was good for a while. I started to really dig deep. It was hard because I dug in real deep to get to that bottom of that trauma. There was so much trauma in there, probably going back to childhood, to be honest. No, it was going back to my childhood. And I brought it all to the surface and I dealt with it, and it was ugly and it was dark. It needed to happen. I needed to do that. And in doing that, I learned more about myself, and I was starting to get on this good this good path. And then I got made redundant. I haven't talked about this yet, but it was just like a, you know, those moments in life where you're just like, is this really happening? Or, you know, I'd given my heart and my soul into this job. I'd given everything. And then it just got taken away like that. So I got made redundant. And my world just went spiraling. In the 6 month period, I dealt with that heartbreak and restarting. And then I got made redundant. And I just, shit, it was dark for a while. But I'm a strong person. I'm real fucking strong. I've been through some shit and I see the light more than the dark. And if I see the dark, I can always see the light. And in my darkest days, I met someone. Here we go again. I met someone and I always thought that I was missing a piece of me. And that when I met this person, whoever it was to be, that I feel like the missing piece was back. But when I met this person, I realized that the missing piece was myself. I didn't actually need anybody to complete me. I needed myself to complete myself. I needed to love myself. And she showed me in the most beautiful way that that was possible. You know, everything that I'd ever been searching for, it was completely wrong. And this person, like, she was so confident and she loved herself and she beamed it, and you can't help but be attracted to it, no matter what kind of way you're attracted to it. And she's the most amazing person. And, you know, we hung out, and of course the things went, she was coming out of a long relationship as well. They'd been together for 7 years. I'd had my shit and I just didn't want to make the same mistake. So we took our time and we took it really slow. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I just knew that I wanted her to be in my life. She's like nobody I ever met. In the darkest days, like shit, it was some dark days. But in those darkest days, man, she was there and she like lifted me up. And I don't even think she realized that she was doing that. You know, and we were new and I was like, oh God, I'm going through all this stuff. But here's this chick. And she never once judged me. And yeah. This is my current girlfriend. She's absolutely amazing. She's beautiful. She's talented. She's passionate. I think we've really vibed on our passion. We're both very passionate about things. We've got the same goals, the same ambitions, the same, you know, I can see a future finally with someone. And it's nice. It's so nice. And in doing so, it gave me the confidence to do this and to, you know, make this platform, Diaries of a Dyke, talk about my experiences that weren't necessarily amazing, but I guess I'm luckier than some. But all those experiences I've been through, I'm all good with all those people now. Even the girl that broke my heart, we're good. We're good. You know, hang out every now and again. I think it was very important to just kind of deal with that trauma and then let go. It's easier to say than to do, but yeah, I don't regret any of it. I don't regret any of it at all. It all made me who I am today. All of the questions, I hope I answered all your questions. Oh yeah, the realization. Someone asked me who my celebrity crush was. Weird enough, it was Jennifer Garner. I don't know if you know Jennifer Garner. This movie came out called Elektra, and I went with my mate. If she's watching this, she'll know what I'm talking about. And Jennifer Garner, she's like in these, it's like tight leather stuff, and she's like a, you know, a hero, a superhero or something. And I remember watching it, and I remember thinking, holy heck, this chick is so hot. And then I think I went back and watched it 4 times. It's the most amount of times I've ever seen a movie, ever. Who did I tell first? I can't remember. I honestly can't remember. The only person I remember telling first was my mom, because shoot, that was scary. I can't remember who I actually told first about my sexuality. But yeah, I guess that's my journey, my relationships, me discovering myself. And I look back now and yeah, obviously some of it still makes me teary eyed. I'm an emotional person anyway. I bloody cried everything. I'm a water element, but here I am. And for the first time in a very long time, I can say that I'm happy with the person I am. There's been some lessons, you know, there's been some heartbreaks on my part, on other people's part. but everything leads you to who you are today. And I'm always here. Reach out if you ever want to talk about anything. And know you're never alone. You are never, ever, ever alone. This is the whole point in this. If I could go back to when I was like 15 years old and someone was just like, oh yeah, liking girls is, you know, it's normal. It's all good. Oh God, that would have saved me a whole lot of years of hurt and feeling like I was alone in the world. So I hope this helps. I never really talked about my relationships like that out loud or some of my life events, to be honest. So we'll see how this goes. And I'll never stop being myself. I'll never stop wearing my heart on my sleeve. I'll never stop loving love. It's beautiful. And when you find it, you'll know. Thanks for listening to my life story. I don't know how long that was, and I don't know how many times I cried, but it felt nice to talk about. It did. And I hope you got something out of it. Love and light.